Morning.
Morning.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Psalm 138 is subtitled as a Psalm of David. And David wrote quite a few of these Psalms in this book of Psalms. This is one of eight that he had all right there together, or at least that they were compiled together. David is writing some wonderful words in which he encourages us, as well as the people back then and himself, that we need to be thankful to God and that we need to be willing to praise God. Now, in this passage, he uses the pronoun I and me and my, but in the passage, he's not talking about just himself. He's talking about the whole nation of Israel. And we don't just need to see the nation of Israel or David in this passage when we recognize those pronouns. We need to think of ourselves as individuals. And the church here at Smyrna or wherever you worship, we need to praise God. We need to be thankful to Him for all the things that He's done with us and through us.
Amen.
I want to look this morning, divide this psalm up into four different parts and see some of the reasons why David suggested that we, even here in the 21st century, need to be willing to praise God. First, he has magnified his truth. In the first two verses of this psalm, he says, "I'll praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I'll worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." David said that he would praise God with his whole heart. Now that means that he would praise God with every fiber of his being. David didn't have a second thought about how important God was in his life. He praised God above every other supernatural being and above every king or ruler here on earth. No one comes before God in position, power, or authority. David's praise, he said in this passage, would be directed toward Jerusalem, which is where the Holy Temple was. And you know, this kind of stands to reason. In the Old Testament, people did that. When they would say their prayers, they would kneel down and face Jerusalem. Even now, the Muslims, they pray five times a day. They get down on their prayer rugs or whatever they call them, and five times a day they face as closely toward Mecca as they can. Now, in the Old Testament, when Solomon prayed his dedication prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he knelt down and faced the holy temple of God. I mentioned last week, as we were studying Daniel chapter 6, when Daniel had been accused of worshiping someone other than King Darius, and of course that was true, it says that he went up to his room and he opened the window that faced Jerusalem and he got down three times a day and prayed to God as he usually did. You know, this is something that we need to remember, that David saw the temple as God's visible presence here on earth. Of course, that temple is not here anymore. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to pray to and praise and exalt God with all of our being.
Amen.
God lifts up His word by keeping every promise He's ever made. Now, there's some promises He hasn't kept yet, sending Jesus back being one of them, but that doesn't mean that He won't keep them. His word stands with His name. And because He's kept all of His promises in the past, that means He's going to keep all of the promises that He has ever made. You know, Israel trusted Him. We can look at our lives. We know that He has made certain promises to us, and we can see them fulfilled in our lives. And so we need to praise God. We need to be thankful to God. Number two, He's answered our prayers. Verse 3, "In the day when I cried out, You answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, David had prayed to God and God had answered him. You look back over David's life and you see a man that we probably know more about David than we do any character in the Old Testament, except maybe Abraham and certainly maybe Moses. But we know an awful lot about David's life. David had done a great many things. He had had trial and tribulation in his life. We'll get to that later. But he had prayed a great number of prayers, and God had fulfilled those prayers that he had prayed. God was with him and deserved his praise. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we've got a well-known story. It's David and Goliath. And I'm sure you know that story. David had gone to the front where the army was, and Goliath was there hurling insults at King Saul and at the army of God that was there. And David couldn't believe nobody had confronted Goliath. And so he said he was willing to do it to King Saul. In 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 33, Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. You are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." You know, here was a man who had all the faith in the world in God. "Since God was with me before, I know he's going to help me whoop up on Goliath." And guess what? There's two blows struck. There's a rock that hit Goliath in the temple, and then Goliath hit the ground. God was with David, and David said, "I'm going to praise God because he was with me in the past, and I know he's going to be with me in the future." We know that God has been with us in the past, especially if we're of a certain age or older, maybe not young people or children or teenagers, but certainly those of us that are older. You like the way I put that? And if you're past 58, that just means you're old. Okay. Oh, there we go. But we know that God will be with us, and He deserves our praise because He has been with us. He has manifested His glory. God has demonstrated Himself throughout the earth. In verses 4 through 6, David wrote, "All the kings of the earth shall praise You, O Lord, when they hear the words of Your mouth. Yes, they'll sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar." You know, when the nations around Israel knew that God had been with that nation, they realized something special was afoot. You go back through the Old Testament, and as you read it, you can figure Israel was not the most powerful of nations. It didn't have the biggest army. It didn't have the greatest population. You know, it didn't have the greatest military. There was nothing terribly special about Israel. Egypt at its height, or even at its worst, was bigger and more powerful than Egypt. Assyria and Babylon were greater nations than Israel ever was. So how was Israel able to overcome these people? Well, simply because God was on their side. You know, you look at a week and a half ago, we studied Rahab on Wednesday night. Here was this woman. She lived in the city of Jericho. The Israelites were getting ready to take the land of Canaan, the promised land. They had sent two spies, Joshua had, to spy out the land. And there she was, and she hid these two men because she had heard our people here in this city of Jericho know that Jehovah God has been with you people. We know that the plagues that happened in Israel, we know that you crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. We know that the Lord was with you during the time in the wilderness. We know that God allowed you to come across the Jordan River again on dry ground. We're not going to be able to stand in your way. You know, she said, "I want to be allied with y'all because Jericho's not going to be able to stand up against you." You know, as we continue our study through the Bible, we see how God was able to bring His Son into the world through a young virgin maiden named Mary and her betrothed, Joseph. We see how God was able to bless the world through the apostles, how God was able to spread the gospel message throughout the Mediterranean world, and how God was able to compile the New Testament. We ought to praise God for all of these things. As we look back through history, we know that we're insignificant, and yet if God is on our side, who can be against us? Number four, He has walked with us in trouble. We need to praise God because we know God has been with us throughout suffering and persecution and pain and tribulation. Verses 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of Your hands. You know, this ought to be, this statement that David made there, ought to be something that we put into our own hearts. God was with David, and it caused David to praise God. God has been with us throughout times of trouble, and we ought to praise God for it. Look at David's life. You know, after the time with Goliath, of course we know that before he became king, King Saul pursued him all around the land, tried his best to kill David, even threw a spear at him, I think it was twice, tried to pin him against the wall. After he became king, of course we've got David, and he sinned with Bathsheba. We know that story. We know that Nathan came as God's representative and confronted David. You have done all of these horrible things against your Father in heaven, and David repented immediately. And Nathan said, and the Lord has forgiven you of your sins. That's a paraphrase right there. But then he went on and he said, nevertheless, the sword will not depart from your house. And as you continue to look at the life of David, you see that his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. And if that weren't enough, Absalom killed Amnon because of it. And Joab killed Absalom, who had raised up a revolt for 2 years against David. You know, if anybody has suffered with children as badly as David, I don't want to know who it was. All because of the sin with Bathsheba. And yet David knew that God was going to be, and indeed was with him during that time. In Psalm 51, David wrote a very special psalm. It was stating his understanding of what had happened with Bathsheba and how God had forgiven him of it. In the first four verses of that passage, he wrote, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your loving kindness. According to the multitude of Your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against You only have I sinned and done this evil in Your sight, that You may be found just when You speak and blameless when You judge." You know, you look at all the things that David went through, and yet he knew that God was with him. Because God had been with him in the past, God would be with him in the future. And I mentioned before, those of us who are a certain age and older, you know, like I said, maybe not children, maybe not teenagers, maybe not even young adults much. But if you've lived to a certain age, you've had trouble. You've lost loved ones. You've had health problems. You've been persecuted, perhaps. God was with you in the past, and just like David, you know that God will be with you in the future. And for that, we need to praise God. Amen. You know, I don't know if you could ever write down on a piece of paper like David could such beautiful words as this psalm, number 138. But if you were to think about over your life how God has been with you, maybe you could jot down a few words that shows to those who come after you what God has meant through you throughout your life. And that's the way that you praise God. You know, we all testify about what we understand about God in the way that we live our lives. And David lived his life and testified about his relationship with God. It seems like almost every day he left us such beautiful words.
Amen.
You know, if you're not a child of God, then you need to put on Jesus in the waters of baptism. God sent Jesus down to die on the cross so that we might have the hope of an eternal home. But He's not going to give you that home if you don't do the things that are required of you. You need to repent of your life of sin. You need to make the good confession. And you need to be baptized so your sins are washed away. But maybe it's as simple as you haven't been as thankful and you haven't praised God as you ought to have. And maybe that's something that you need to rectify. Maybe you need to set up, and I know it's a little bit early for New Year's resolutions. Maybe you need to live next year as a more joyful person because you're praising God more, from whom all blessings flow, by the way. You know, if you need to respond to the invitation this morning, you have that opportunity. If you need to come, won't you, as we stand and sing?